ये शास्त्र विधिम उत्सृज्य यजन्ते श्रद्धयान्विताः एषां निष्ठा तु का कृष्ण सत्वम आहो रजस्तमः. दैट वॉज अर्जुनस क्वेश्चन इन द बिगिनिंग ऑफ द 17th चैप्टर वेर ही सेज ओ कृष्ण माय टीचर माय गुरु माय फ्रेंड. अ पर्सन हैज नॉट रेड द स्क्रिप्चर्स, does not know the Upanishads or the Bhagavad Gita, is not an authority on Sanskrit, but he works with Shraddha, he works with faith, with devotion. So what happens to such a person? What is his condition? Is he sattvic, rajasic or tamasic? Because Krishna had explained to Arjuna the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. So he had explained the three gunas, sattva being knowledge or purity, rajas which is passion or activity, and tamas which is laziness or indolence. So tamas which is laziness or indolence. So Arjuna wants to know that what happens to such a person. He works with great faith, with great devotion for the Lord, but he has not read the scriptures, he does not know what the Bible says, he does not know what the Quran says, but he has faith in God, he loves God and he works. So what happens to such a person? So the chapter starts with Arjuna's question. Now Krishna could have just answered it in one line, you know, it is sattva rajas, but what Krishna thought that from the question, the teacher actually mostly can tell the quality of the student from the questions he asks or she asks. The kind of question we ask will decide where we are in our spiritual journey. It's like a child, you know, who asks a teacher, you know, how much is 2 plus 2? Then she knows that, you know, he's a beginning math. But somebody says, what is A squared plus B squared plus C squared, you know, something like that. Then she knows, okay, this child knows algebra, he needs. So similarly, Krishna feels that Arjuna needs more explanation about the gunas. So this whole chapter is a scientific paper on the gunas. It is a very scientific treatise, just as when you see a paper in a New England journal or a very prestigious journal, how very clearly and scientifically the whole subject is explained. Otherwise, the paper will not be accepted for publication. So here also Krishna gives us a very scientific explanation of the three gunas. He feels that not only Arjuna, but through Arjuna, all of us, that we need more information about what these gunas are. And this chapter deals with the various aspects, like the yajnas that we perform, the, you know, the sacrifices that we perform, the tapa, the austerity, the dana, the charity, the ahara, the food. So these are the main things we do. We eat, we do austerities, we do sacrifices, we do charity. So how these activities that we do in our daily life or on special occasion, how they can become either sattvic, rajasic or tamasic, and how through application of this knowledge that the Lord gives us, how from tamas we can evolve to rajas and from rajas to sattva. So as we know, so we'll talk of course more about these three kinds of people throughout this discourse, throughout this entire chapter. So let us see what Krishna's answer is. And then from there it will lead us to what is Shraddha and what is the Nishtha, what is the person's nature. So verse number 2. श्री भगवान उवाच त्रिविधा भवति श्रद्धा देहिनां सा स्वभावजा सात्विकी राजसी चैव तामसि चेति तां श्रुणु. सो श्री भगवान द लॉर्ड कृष्णा ही सेड Trividha bhavati shraddha. Shraddha is of three types. Trividha, three types. Bhavati is shraddha. Dehinam. Dehinam, we are all dehis. Because why? Because we occupy this body. This body is called deha. So one who occupies the body is called dehi. So this individuality, this mind and intellect and the vasanas, we occupy this body. And then with the body, we perceive objects. With the mind, we feel emotions. With the intellect, we think thoughts. So it is our vasanas. And then how do we function? Because of the presence of Om, because of the presence of God, we occupy this body. And so that's why the scriptures always say, you are not this body. You are occupying this body. Just as when you are occupying a house, you don't say, I am the house. Though some people get so attached to their house that they think this is me. And if anything happens to the house, oh, it happened to me. But in general, they say, what you occupy, you are not. Like, I am owning the house, so I am not the house. Just as I own a car, I am not the car. You say, my car, my house, my book, my pen. So similarly, we say, my body hurts, or my mind is upset, or my intellect is confused. So when I say my body, that means I am not the body, I am the owner of this body. I have to take care of the body, but do not get identified. So he says, Dehi Nam. So of all of us who are occupying this body, what is the three kinds of bhakti? I'm sorry, three kinds of shraddha. It is Swabhava Ja. Ja means born out of nature, out of our nature. It is my nature which decides what is my shraddha. What is my shraddha is an interesting word. Of course, we'll be going into more detail. But shraddha, people always translate as faith. And faith is a very poor word to communicate the meaning of shraddha. Shraddha, as Shankaracharya ji says, it is the total faith and understanding of the words of the scriptures and the guru. So what the scriptures say, as interpreted by the guru, when a person understands it, fully applies it in his life, becomes, you know, says, okay, totally accepts it 100%, that is shraddha. So shraddha is not only a mental concept, it's not only emotionally, I believe in God, okay, there is a God and I love him. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But better is to put your intellect and understand, who is this God? Where is he? What does he do? How do the scriptures describe him? So when you have understood the teachings of the guru and the scriptures, then the faith you get in the teachings and the faith you get in God is called shraddha. So shraddha is much more than just blind faith. One is blind faith, you know. Somebody who is uneducated, they tell him, okay, you go to Mata Vaishno Devi once a year. He goes and he offers his, you know, prasad, and he comes back and he gets the benefit of that. But if I really know who this Mata is, where does she live? Is she only in that Himalayas, in the mountains, or is she in my heart as life, as consciousness? And then when I bring that Mata's qualities into my life, then my blind faith has become Shraddha. So Sri Krishna says there is the three kind of Shraddhas born out of our nature. And what are they? Satviki, Rajasi and Tamasi, Cha Aiva, all three. Satviki, Rajasi, Tamasi, Cha Iti Tam Shrunu. So you please listen from me. I will tell you what are the three kinds of Shraddha. Shrunu is a very beautiful word. It does not mean hear. It means listen. So there's a difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is what you tell your teenager. It goes, half the time he's not listening, or he has his earphones on, or even if he's listening, he's not paying attention. It doesn't even penetrate. So that is when we talk to teenagers, or when a wife talks and the husband, that is listening, that is hearing, that is not, then she says, have you heard me? Then you say, okay, okay, what did you say? So when you listen, it means you pay attention to what the spouse is saying, or what the parent is saying, or what. So Krishna says, don't just hear, but listen. Tam Shrunu. So what are the three kinds of, let us, oh, sorry, here it is. It is on this board, as we said, sattva is the highest. It is the state of knowledge, of purity, which the saints and the wise people and the monks always stay in that. Of course, they function when they come to work. Like Swami Chinmayananda, he was, you know, always stayed in sattva, but then he worked. He worked from 2 or 3 in the morning till midnight. Maybe sometime took an half an hour rest, sometime did. He worked 20 hours a day. So he was working in rajas, but a lot of activity, but activity was covered with sattva, with the knowledge, with the purity. But pure rajas is what the majority of us live in, where we work, but we work just for me, myself, and I. How can I do maximum? And in that process of working, we develop some greed, some jealousy, and all that. We have talked about that, which we did in detail in the 16th chapter. So pure rajas, when there is not sattva, when there is not purity, when there is not rajas mixed with sattva, is I work for the benefit of mankind. But pure rajas, like a businessman or an industrialist, his goal is how can I acquire maximum for myself? And tamas are the people who are procrastinators, you know, drug addicts, people on welfare who just don't care. You know, they don't want to work. They want society to take care of them. And as long as they get their bottle and they get their bed, they are happy. So these are the three kinds. And Krishna says they are based on the nature. Nature. What is nature? Nature is what I consistently think. There's a saying, as the thoughts, so is the man. What I consistently think, what I feel, determines my shraddha, my nature. And what determines my nature? It is my vasanas. Vasanas are the tendencies that I was born with in this lifetime. Each one of us, the reason we took birth, because we had unfulfilled tendencies, got tendencies. To fulfill them, we took birth. Now, in this life, you can either increase your vasanas, you know, by doing a lot of selfish activities and trying to cheat others' life. Then you increase your vasanas, or you can reduce your vasanas by doing unselfish work, by sharing, by right knowledge, by meditation, by love of God. So as the spiritual activities, the more and more you do, your vasanas get less. So it is the vasanas which determine my consistent thinking, and that becomes my nature. And so an individual shraddha can be sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic based on his vasanas, based on his nature. So nature is the inner personality of the individual and based on his consistent thinking. And consistent thinking is what determines how we act. What is my goal in life? What is my purpose? If my goal is just to have fun and have pleasure, then that's what I'll go for. That reminds me of a little story. So there was this movie, you know, Indian movie. And as happens in the movies, you know, this girl is going to take off her clothes to take a bath in the river. And as she just starts, you know, just taking off her chunni, just that, suddenly a train comes. And the train passes by, and by the time the train is gone, she's already in the water. So that's how, you know, in the Hindi movies, they don't show it. It's all very suggestive. So she's already bathing in the water. So this man, he comes to the movie. He really likes it. He comes second day, and he waits for that scene. Soon as the scene is over, he leaves. Third day, fourth day, every day he stays for half the movie. Every day he buys a ticket. So the usher, after a while, gets surprised. He says, "Kya baat hai? You know, what is this? You come every day, you buy a ticket, and you leave halfway. What is the matter?" After that scene, I'll say it in Hindi and then I'll translate. He says, "Main soch raha hu, kabhi to train late ho jayegi." At least someday the train will be late. So he's waiting for that. So that is his shraddha. You know, he wants. So that is how we all are. You know, we put all our consistent effort in that one direction, and that's how we act. A tamasic person acts tamasically, a sattvic person, you know, with knowledge and purity. And we have examples of all the three, like Buddha. Buddha was a prime example. He was born in luxury, was a prince, going to be the king. He had a wife, a beautiful son, gave everything up. He said, I want to know the truth. I want to go out beyond suffering. And so his whole life, next 32 years, he went into deep meditation. And then once he became achieved nirvana, the state of realization, he became a great teacher. And millions of Buddhists throughout the world are benefiting from such a person's activity. And the other example is Caesar, Julius Caesar. He was a Roman emperor. And he said, I want to not only capture Rome, but the whole of Europe, the whole world as he knew it should be under my. And so his whole goal was how many, you know, how much my army can conquer, how much I can destroy, how much I can take over. And his whole life was spent in killing, in, you know, plundering, looting, making the Roman Empire very rich and very powerful. But it's interesting, Caesar, it is said that in his last days when he was very sick, he realized the folly of what he had done. He said, what have I done? My whole life I have just been killing and plundering and looting. And it is said that he instructed his courtiers. He said, when I die, you know, they used to have this great funeral procession, you know, when the king would die, everybody would meet and then they would bury him and, you know, all that big ceremony. So he said, make sure the coffin is designed in such a way that my hands are outside. He said, why? Why do you want that? He said, no, I want my hands outside. He says, why? He said, I want people to know that I spent my whole life in acquiring so much wealth and property and huge, you know, empire. I'm leaving with empty hands. Nothing goes. Your wife won't go with you, your house, your money. Nothing goes. The only thing that go with you are your vasanas and your karmas. That is the only thing. And that will decide your next life and how it will be, not only this life, my karmas and my vasanas, but also decide the subsequent lives. And then the third example, of course, as we said, a person, a drug addict, a drug dealer, who you tell him, why are you doing this? He said, listen, don't talk to me. You have any food? You have a bottle? Give it and then go. He said, don't you want to work? No, I don't want to work. I just want enough money so I can enjoy my life. I can relax. What about others? Shouldn't you be helping? I don't care about others as long as I get my daily fix. And for that, they will lie and cheat and plunder. So this is examples of three kinds of individuals who live their life. And they say this Shraddha is inborn. As we said, we are born with certain vasanas, with certain nature, with certain tendencies. And then it is up to us, if we apply the knowledge of the Gita, we can improve our vasanas, improve our tendencies, as the, you know, the prayer of Saint Francis, where there is anger, let me bring love, where there is hatred, compassion, and so on. So either I can do that or I can go downwards. And that's what we studied also in the 16th chapter, the two kinds of individuals, the Daivi and the Danav, the godly and the demonic people. And we find people usually try to correct the other person. They won't try to correct myself. That's what they say now when the husband and wife marry. The husband hopes the wife will never change. And the wife hopes the husband will change. And they are both disappointed. Because husband thinks wife should always remain, you know, young and beautiful like I married her. She should never change. And the wife thinks, husband, he has all these habits. After marriage, I'll change him. So they are both disappointed. So you cannot change individuals. You can only change yourself. Because these tendencies we are born with. They are so powerful that they take over our thinking. So the only way is to make a conscious effort, which we'll talk at the end. But how do we know a person's tendencies? Recently, a few months back, I was reading this in the new article in the newspaper about this millionaire. He had so much money, he died, and then his will was going to be announced. So his lawyer, you know, brought the will, and all his sons and daughters and grandchildren and nephews and nieces, they all showed up. He said, you know, this millionaire died. So let's see what he left me. And interestingly, he left all his money to his dog. Everything he left to his dog. And he said the dog will live in this house and there will be a caretaker of the dog and there will be a trustee. My lawyer will be the trustee and he will assign money every month. What kind of, you know, thinking? That's how you know what was his Shraddha. His whole life, he was, maybe the children didn't take care of him or didn't. But the point is that whatever your, and or maybe he wasn't so much in love. And people are like that. You know, they love their dog. They love their cat, sometimes more than their children. And that
they
is the,
huh?
They don't talk back. They don't criticize you.
Yeah.
They listen to you, maybe. But anyway, or example, another thing I was thinking is like a person says, you know, from tomorrow I have to get up in the morning, you know, 5 o'clock. Why? I'm going to sit, get up and do some puja, some meditation, then meditation, then maybe I'll do some exercise. You know, people or some yoga. So people have different goals. Kal se main, definitely I need to change my life. You know, I've been living like that. So he gets up in the morning, alarm rings. He said, it's too early. Let me press, you know, snooze. And snooze karte karte, you know, is 6:37 by the time he wakes up. Second day, third day, and fourth day, he says, what's the use of setting the alarm even 5 o'clock? Even the birds are not awake. You know, it's so quiet. Kya fayda? So that's how these tendencies are very hard unless you are really disciplined, unless you have really focused. The wonderful example of tamas is like a caveman. You know, a caveman, he's living in a cave and he walks by and he comes out and he sees an apple. He says, apple is good, he eats it. He doesn't ask where the apple came from, what it is, who grew it, what. He just says, ugly. Then he sees an apple, he eats. Second day, he doesn't see an apple, he doesn't eat. He doesn't look up to see there is an apple tree from where the apple fell. I should climb up and get apples. He has no interest in doing anything. His idea is eating. Then comes a Rajasic person. Now he sees an apple. So he, of course, will see it, he will eat it, but then he will say, oh, there is a tree. So apple came from the tree. How did the tree grow? And then he, you know, by mistake throws some seeds and that seed becomes another apple tree. So he says, ah, that's how apples grow. So he learns. So what does he do? He will now build a fence, put a big orchard. He will put a lot of seeds, grow a lot of apple trees, monopolize the market, try to control, you know, apple. He's the apple king. And a sattvic person will also see apple. You know, he will also eat it, but he will thank the Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for this sweet, beautiful apple. And, you know, he looks at the tree and he says, oh, it's so nice. Let me get apples. Let me share with the world. So the same apple, the three people are eating, but it's with their attitude. How are you eating the apple? What is the purpose? And we find that the example, modern example of tamas is a typical university student, you know, or a high school student. You tell him, what are you doing? He said, I have a project due, you know, in 2 weeks. So what are you doing about it? I'm still thinking. I'm still trying to get ideas. And you, every day you ask him, every second, third day, the night before the project is due, I think all of us have gone through that. So we all know that. He'll start and then the mom and dad have to sit down and, you know, because by then he has just barely got the idea. Then they are going to the all-night store, you know, Walmart or something to bring that board and supplies. We have all done that. And then this till 2 o'clock in the morning, you are making his project for him. That is typical, typical tamas. You know, procrastinate till the last minute and then work. And what I find nowadays, our language is becoming so tamasic. Our language is pure tamas. In the olden days, people used to write nice letters, dear sir, or to that beloved or their wife, you know, nice long letters. Now it's just email, text. You know, and text, maybe they won't spell the whole word. You are, LOL, you know, WTM, what's that? I mean, they don't even bother to spell. There is no spelling. There is no grammar. There is no nothing. And nowadays, if Romeo, you know, olden days, Romeo used to sit down and sing songs to Juliet. Now, what would he do? He would buy a DVD from the store, which is already pre-recorded. and the, somebody has done, you know, all totally well done, you know, well produced with all the right language and the right words, and he'll just buy it, or online. Nowadays, they don't even go to the store, buy it online. And maybe he'll put one or two of his own words, you know, to show that it is. That is how we have become. There is no originality. There is no thinking. So that is what is happening to the world, sattva. But what about rajas? You say if there was no rajas, there would be no progress. I grant you that. I agree that rajas is needed for us to progress, for us to evolve. A lot of the you know, like the industrial revolution and all that, which is good. Rajas is required for, you know, for economic growth, for political growth, for social and all that. But the problem that we have today is that rajas is uncontrolled. There is no control. There is no limit. There is no restriction. People have become so greedy and so selfish and so possessive and so arrogant, and all the time it's competition, you know, how I can make a monopoly, how I can put the other guy down. So they say rajas should progress to sattva. Rajas should be mixed with sattva. We're not saying that you shouldn't earn, you shouldn't acquire, you shouldn't possess, but that should not be my only goal. My goal should be how much I can give back to society. How can I make this world a better place? How can I help others? Whatever I have, that's what Swami Chinmayananda says. What you have is his gift to you. And what you do with what you have is your gift to him. So if I want to pay back the Lord for what I have received, he does not need anything. If you go and put, he does not need money. He has all the money. He is the Lord of Lakshmi. Everything belongs to him. But how can I pay my gratitude to him? By helping the poor, helping somebody in need, helping. And I can share physically, I can put my effort, I can do emotionally by sharing my love, maybe by teaching somebody ideas financially. I can go out and build a habitat for humanity or build a roof. So rajas should be accompanied by sattva. Sri Krishna in the fourth chapter, he says it very clearly. He says, one who acquires, you know, whatever we acquire, there's a lot of people who put effort in it. Even though I say I worked and earned, but if I have a business, then there are so many employees. If I am an employee, then there are so many co-workers. So whatever I have, it is acquired with a yajna spirit. That's what Krishna says. So one who keeps what he has acquired is a thief. Sthen evasa, that's very clearly Krishna says in the fourth chapter, that whatever you have received, it is your duty to share with others, to help others. And interestingly, when you share unselfishly without any ego, you find that it never gets less. He again is unlimited. He's the Lord of everything. So whatever you share gets replaced many times over. So that's what they are saying, that use your rajas and put sattva mixed with it. That's why he says, Trividha Bhavati Shraddha. There are three kinds of Shraddha based on their nature, whether they are sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. And little more about this we'll do in the next verse. And then after the next verse, then Sri Krishna will give us practical examples of these three kinds of activity. So any comments, any discussion on this?
But there are ways to change them.
Modify them, exactly. Yeah, and how did I get born? From my previous birth. See, I create my own vasanas. It's not that the God is sending me with vasanas. I create my own vasanas in this life. And then when I die, if the vasanas are not fulfilled, they carry with me in my next life. So, and then it's up to me whether I modify them or, because they're very strong, very deep, very powerful. So it takes a lot of effort. Like, in the same household, you know, you have two brothers or a brother and a sister. One loves engineering and, you know, math and all. And the other one loves music. you know, loves to sing, and he has no interest in studies, and I want to become a musician. Now, the mother in her milk didn't give math to one child and music to the other. No, she fed both equally, and they had the same upbringing. But why does one child become a scientist, another one becomes a musician? It is their vasanas. That's why parents also have to see what is my child's tendency and encourage them in that. If somebody is a musician and you forcefully make him a doctor, he will be miserable. You know, even when he's seeing patients, he will be singing and, you know, playing, drumming on the table. And he'll have no interest, you know. So that is what? So that is the vasanas.
To self-realize, you have to go through all these shraddhas beyond that, right?
Right. Absolutely, yes. Because later on we will see that even sattva can become a bondage. So from the tamas I have to go to rajas, rajas to sattva, and then even that should be given up. Does not mean that I should not do sattvic activity, but my focus should be beyond all the worldly activities to realize the truth. How can sattva become a bondage? It's like, example, I think I may have talked before, that a lady says, I have to get up in the morning and do puja, or a man says, I have to get up in the morning and meditate or do yoga. And every morning they do it, that's very good. That's a sattvic activity. But one day the child is sick, and so she couldn't do her puja or couldn't do her yoga or meditate. And then that whole day they are disturbed. Oh, I am so miserable. I am so unhappy. No. Then it becomes a bondage. You know, once in a while, if something emergency comes and I have to take care of the child, it's okay. So that what I mean is, or like a person wants to do community service, that's very good. That's a sattvic activity. But if somebody comes in my way of doing community, then how can I destroy this person? How can I? He's interfering with my... So then sattva can become a bondage. So the person who is truly realized, like, you know, Swami Chinmayananda or Shankaracharya or Jesus or Buddha, they do not work out of a desire to serve. Even the desire to serve is gone. It is a spontaneous outpouring of love for humanity. Spontaneous outpouring. And that is why they have gone even beyond sattva. Even sattva cannot bind such an individual. Their activities are sattvic, but they are not bound by it. Did I make myself clear? That their spontaneous pouring out of love for mankind, out of which they compose all these scriptures and the Bible and the Quran. Christ did not say, I'm going to start a movement called Christianity. No, he just went and preached to his disciples, whoever he met. And then they further then made an organization and, you know, organized the Bible and all. So that is what. So they go beyond even the gunas, beyond tamas, rajas and sattva. Thank you. That's a good question. Good point. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Makaschit Dukkhamagave. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namah. Hari Om.